That's biblical meditation. Somehow the heart, the mind, the emotions, everything about us becomes trained in the mind of Christ. The missing art of biblical meditation must be restored. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many of you have ever become so anxious over something, it kept you up at night, and you just had that thing going through your brain all night long, and you couldn't sleep? Put your hands up. All right. So we know that we know how to meditate. So now we just have to change the subject matter. All right. This passage of Scripture gives us, like, how many times does he have to say it? Be strong. Be courageous. Be very strong. Be very courageous. Did you hear me? I said, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful. Don't become anxious. He gives all these commands in there, but not one time does he tell you how. He just says, be strong. Be very courageous. And then he says, you're going to make your own way prosperous. You're going to make your own way successful. And then he gives one little sliver, extremely profound sliver of advice, not advice, a command, a sliver of instruction that makes everything else in the verses possible. He says, but you shall meditate on this word day and night. I think this is biblical meditation is probably the most neglected area of Christian discipline in the body of Christ in our country. There's Western meditation, which is intellectual. There's Eastern meditation, which is to empty your mind. And there's biblical meditation that is unlike either of those two. I want to read to you the definition of this word, meditation. By the way, if you're taking notes, I don't know if we'll get to it or not, but the first psalm, Psalms number 1, is a parallel passage to Joshua chapter 1. It runs very, very similar themes, all right? So let me read this definition to you. It means to reflect, to moan, to mutter, to ponder, to make a quiet sound such as sighing, to meditate or contemplate something as one repeats the words. It represents something quite unlike the English meditation, which may be a mental exercise only. In Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. From this tradition comes a specialized type of Jewish prayer called davening, that is reciting texts, praying intense prayers, or getting lost in communion with God while bowing or rocking back and forth. If you've seen people at the Wailing Wall, this rocking, that is actually a physical response to biblical meditation. It is repeating a matter, which is what you do in biblical meditation, all right? So rocking back and forth. Evidently, this dynamic form of meditation prayer goes back to David's time. That's called davening. This is from Dick Mills in his word study book. Often what we do is we read scripture, we say amen to what we read, we're encouraged by what we read, but the Lord has actually given us instruction that in many ways determines the measure of our success, our impact, our prosperity. And again, I don't mind talking about money in this context, but it's not my focus today at all. It's not about, you know, boats and planes and mansions. It's about being as wealthy as Bill Gates is on the outside, you and me being that wealthy on the inside. is that there's that kind of an abundance here that I have to spend my life trying to figure out how to give all this encouragement away because I've got so much. It's that place of prosperity. Is it possible that God would bless you more on the inside than somebody like a Bill Gates or some of these others are blessed on the outside? Yes, it's possible because we tap into an eternal, unlimited kingdom. And it is the design of the Lord that we actually enter into places of personal victory that are equal to the kinds of victories that we see by great corporations, etc. All right? So back to the point, is that the Lord would cause you and me to be a people that have triumphed in our personal journey with the Lord to such an extent that there are conquests in the same way that there'd be conquest in military, conquest in business, conquest in other parts of life, sports, etc. Instead, what he's saying is he's directly tying it to this one tiny little sliver of insight and command, and that is to meditate. Even where he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, that's actually one of the expressions of meditation. It is the fact that there is just, I'm not saying you have to rock, but I want to illustrate. It's the fact that there is this repeating, God spoke a word to me. Let's just take, I remember times I've been in real difficult place financially and I needed a miracle breakthrough. And I found this verse in Psalms 127. In fact, for months now, I've been reading Psalms 127 to 128 every day because they are family psalms, and I love to pray them over my household. So let's go back to this verse. So he says, he provides for his beloved even while he sleeps. So I will take this verse in a time of great personal need, and I will just pray and say, God, you said in your word that you provide for me even while I'm sleeping. God, I celebrate the fact that I do work hard for you and I give that to you, but your work for me is far greater than my work for myself. You have unlimited resources. You have unlimited resources. You provide for me out of the riches of your glory, which is vast and uncontainable in any vessel. God, I thank you that your abundance pours towards me, that you've actually assigned a measure of breakthrough into my life, my family, and my family line. God, I confess, I declare, I sing before you. You provide for me even while I sleep. What is there? There's just this repeated prayer. It's not just this ritual or this religious routine. What's happening is my interaction with what God has said is now becoming a part of the fabric of my being. Lance Wallnau would say, it's become cellular in us. It becomes something that is so much a part of us that it is woven into our actual personality, and it affects how we think, it affects how we live. It's not a two-minute reciting of a verse. It's a lifetime of engagement with that which God has said. Now, the scriptures tell us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God is saying, you're alive because I talk. You're alive because I talk. Everything about you thrives because I have spoken. Everything about you thrives because I have spoken. I have deposited through word. I have transferred from my world to yours through a decree. And when we take that word seriously and prayerfully consider, put it on a 3x5 card, stick it on the dashboard of my car if I have a distance to drive, and I just have that to look at, just to refresh my mind. I maybe can quote it without the card, but I look at it anyway because I want everything about me. I speak it because I want my ears to hear it. I see it with my eyes because I want my eyes to see it. I speak it with my mouth because I want to participate with God in saying what he is saying. If you want, Jesus only said what his Father says. If you want to learn to say what the Father is saying, then start saying what he has said.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.